Freedom and bliss, the noble truth of the cessation of suffering, O monks, is this. It is a complete cessation of that very craving, giving it up, relinquishing it, liberating oneself from it, and detaching oneself from it.
Good evening, Dharma friends. Today we are going to talk about Dukkha Nirodha Arya Satcha, the noble truth of the cessation of dukkha, suffering. What is it like to be freed from defilements? We will never know until we are freed from defilements. Nibbana is a supramundane state. It goes beyond all the words. Human language is created by human beings to express their experiences. But Nibbana is a supramundane state that goes beyond the boundaries of the language. We will never be able to understand what Nibbana is unless we realize it by ourselves directly. Pacchattang Veditabho Vinyuhi. A wise person should realize it for himself directly. Even in our day-to-day life, sometimes we find it's difficult to express our feelings, our views through language. But of course, when it comes to the concept like Nibbana, it is impossible for us to express only through the words. There's a Buddhist parable retold many times throughout many centuries by the Buddhists to express how it is difficult to understand Nibbana through words. This is a dialogue between a turtle and a fish. A turtle once left his pond and went for a walk on dry land. After some time, he returned to the pond. His friend, fish, came and said, "I did not see you for some time. Where have you been?" The turtle said, "I just returned from a walk on dry land." Then the fish said, "Of course, you mean swimming." The turtle tried to explain that it is impossible to swim on dry land, but you had to walk. Fish tried to interrogate, ask questions such as, "Is your dry land is something which is wet? Is it something where I can swim? Is it rippling? Can I dive in?" To all these questions, turtle replied, "No." At the end, turtle could not convince the fish the existence of a dry land. fish also could not believe that there is something called dry land, because the fish experience only water, and his vocabulary, his experience, perceptions, feelings, mental formation, everything else is related to the water. Whereas the turtle, who has the experience in both dry land and water, still could not convey the nature of the dry land to the fish. So in this parable, the turtle is compared to an enlightened human being, an arahant, who has experience, direct experience of both mundane and supramundane aspect. The fish is compared to ordinary human beings with defilements. However, while Buddha encouraging all his disciples to follow the Noble Eightfold Path to realize the Nibbana directly by themselves, Buddha also tried to communicate the nature of Nibbana. So there are different sets of words used by the Buddha to express. However, no matter how good are these words, we will never be able to realize the Nibbana only through the words. There are words the Buddha used to express that Nibbana is an existing reality, an existing truth. These are ontological terms. And he talks about existing truth in concrete terms. In Udana, Buddha used the term ayatana when he explained Nibbana. The term ayatana is a realm or dimension. Buddha also used the term like pada. The term pada is here a state. Amata pada, depthless state. He says, appamado amata padang. Diligence is the path to deathless. Some other time he also used the terms such as dhatu. The term dhatu is translated into English as element. So Nibbana dhatu, Nibbana element, amata dhatu, deathless element. So there are such terms used by the Buddha to express Nibbana as an existing reality. So words such as state, realm, element, and these terms are concrete terms, and they express an existing truth, a reality. Buddha also used some other sets of words, and these words precisely and exactly say what we should do if we were to attain Nibbana. So these words are like pointers. They direct us, and it gives us message what should be done if you want to be enlightened. In Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, when the Buddha explained the third noble truth, Dukkha Nirodha Arya Satcha, he used the terms, and these terms express what we should do if you want to be enlightened. So these are the words a while ago read by Ming Yang. So the Buddha says, what should be done in order to attain enlightenment? We should uproot the root cause of suffering. Last week we discussed that craving, how it inseparably connected with unsatisfactoriness. So if you want to get rid of unsatisfactoriness, we need to uproot its cause, which is craving itself. So third noble truth, the Buddha says, we have to uproot the craving. So explaining what is Nibbana or what is the cessation of dukkha, he says, yo tassa eva tanhaya asesa viraga nirodho. It is complete cessation from that very craving. The term asesa viraga nirodho is a very important term here. This is the key term. It has got three words inside. Asesa means without remaining completely. Viraga means getting free from raga, craving, absence of craving. Nirodho means cessation. So these three terms together says that it is completely freed oneself from craving. In other terms, it is totally destroying the craving. Perfectly, permanently, and irreversibly. The Buddha used another four terms here to emphasize the matter. It means the craving should be uprooted. It should be destroyed. So the other four terms the Buddha used here, chago, patinisago, mutti, analayo. Chago here means giving it up. The term chaga and dana are quite similar. The term dana and chaga can be translated as liberality or generosity. When you practice generosity, you have to give without attachment. So when you are giving, you are detaching, you are giving to get rid of attachment. So here the Buddha used the term chago, means without any attachment, without any clinging, destroy the craving, giving it up, chago. Patinissaggo, relinquishing from it, here renouncing, letting go. So when you let go the craving and relinquish from it, and then the third term, vimutti, freedom. Freedom from craving. So here, the term mutti is important because it also says it is the craving that kept us as prisoners of this cycle of existence. So craving keep us bound to the birth and death cycle. Craving is keeping us bound to the pillar of this birth and death. Mutti, he means getting freedom from it. In order to get in freedom from it, you have to cut the string, cut the craving, and let it go and destroy it. The last term he used is analayo, detaching from oneself, from craving. So these five terms are used by the Buddha to express what should be done if we were to be enlightened. There are also other places in different suttas where Buddha also used such terms like keywords or pointers to express that what should be done if you want to be enlightened. These terms like dosakkayo nibbanam, eradication of hatred is nibbana. Ragakkayo nibbanam, eradication of craving is nibbana. Dosakkayo nibbanam, eradication of the mohakkayo. The mohakkayo nibbanam, eradication of moha. The delusion itself is nibbana. The terms such as vita raga, virajang, vita malang, all these terms express that if we were to be enlightened, we have to destroy the craving and defilements. Buddha also used some other set of words to express that Nibbana is a state which is completely free from all the kinds of sufferings. So there's no any sufferings. It is the perfect freedom from suffering. In order to express this aspect of the Nibbana, the Buddha used the term such as ajara, freedom from decay, old age. Amara, freedom from death. Asoka, freedom from sorrow. So in these kind of words, it expressed clearly that Nibbana is completely free from all the kinds of suffering. Buddha also used another set of words to express that Nibbana is a desirable state. It is worth of struggling to achieve. And in this aspect, Buddha used the terms like paramang sukhang, supreme happiness. Nibbanang paramang sukhang. Nibbana is the supreme happiness. Kemang. Nibbana is the most secured state. Kema. Security from the bondage. Vimutti. Liberation. Freedom. Nibbana is complete liberation and freedom from all the kinds of miseries and sufferings. Parama Santi, perfect peace. Ultimate peace, calm. So such terms are used by the Buddha to express that Nibbana is a state desirable to achieve, worth trying to achieve. So there are these four groups of words. Of course, there are some other words too, but I believe this is good enough to have some understanding. If we were to go through these words, we can see that Nibbana is an existing reality. So Buddha expressed it with concrete terms. And also he used both positive terms and negative terms to express that what we should do if you want to attain enlightenment. And also he said that enlightenment state is completely free from all the suffering. Then he also used the terms to indicate that it is full of bliss, freedom, happiness. It is a state worth of trying to achieve. Now, in many religions, the last goal, most of the time, the last goal of many religion is to be born in the heaven. That last goal is to be achieved only after the death. However, in Buddhist teaching, Nibbana is to be achieved while you are living, not after the death. It is a state which is possible to be achieved through training, through our ethical, spiritual, and intellectual faculties. Noble Eightfold Path is the path that set us in that training. And by training, we can achieve enlightenment by uprooting all the defilements. Those who achieved enlightenment, Nibbana, they are known as arahants, worthy ones. And when a human being attains that supreme state, complete cessation from suffering, here and now, that human being experiences bliss and happiness. Vimutti sukha. It is said, after attaining supreme enlightenment, the Buddha remained under the Bodhi tree, experiencing bliss and happiness of supreme enlightenment. There are pens of joys collected into books which are uttered by enlightened monks and nuns. And they all express bliss and happiness that they experience through enlightenment. These collections are compiled into books called Theragatha and Therigatha. Pens of joys of brothers and sisters. When a human being attains that supreme enlightenment, that human being is experiencing the Nibbana here and now. And at that state, we called it Sopadisesa Nibbana, experiencing Nibbana with residue remaining. Here the term residue is used to mean the psychophysical mechanism, 5 aggregates. When a human being attains supreme enlightenment, his body and mind is still functioning. 5 aggregates are still functioning as a psychophysical mechanism. But he is completely free from attachment and defilements, and his mind experiences bliss and happiness of Nibbana. So this state is known as Sopadisesa Nibbana. Experiencing of Nibbana with one's body and mind here and now, with residue remaining. When that human being passes away, we do not use the term death, but we use another term, parinibbana. Here, when such a human being passes away, we simply use the term pass into nibbana to mean that anupadisesa Nibbana. It means Nibbana without residue remaining. A question can be asked, whether an enlightened one after the death exists or does not exist in such terms. However, such terms are not applicable in this case. In fact, there are other suttas where Buddha discuss these in detail. So enlightened human being, here and now, he experienced Nibbana, and then after the death, that is what we call Nibbana without residue remaining. So the term Parinibbana is used to mean that state. However, as I said at the very beginning, we will never be able to understand what Nibbana is only through words. If we were to understand and realize what Nibbana is, we need to realize it by ourselves directly by following the Noble Eightfold Path.